Isaiah actually began preaching before Jeremiah, and it was the dark time, but Isaiah told them that the day would come that those people who sat in darkness would see a great light. And when we contrast the teaching of Jesus Christ with sometimes the discouraging lessons we learn from the Old Testament, we can see then the contrast and perceive the great light. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 is a key passage of Scripture, I think, was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Jeremiah, speaking by inspiration, said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now, unfortunately, at that day and time, the people's response was, "We will not walk therein." When we study the book of Jeremiah, we know that the people were very rebellious to the word of God. Now, they professed to serve God, but in works they denied him, because they did that which was actually contrary to his commands regarding worship and service unto him. And I cite many verses as we progress, but we're really in our effort this morning, it's not to look at this Old Testament account, but to learn from it. We know that Jeremiah was a priest from the village of Anathoth in Benjamin, small little village, not much to really think about. But remember, God doesn't concern himself with the outward appearances. God looks upon our heart. We also know that Jeremiah had a scribe by the name of Baruch. And when we study the Old Testament, like the New Testament, some of the inspired men of God had people who wrote down their letters for them. The Apostle Paul had someone that wrote down letters for him, the exception being maybe the book of Galatians. He had mentioned that he wrote with such large letters with his own hand. And that's encouragement to a lot of preachers today, because a lot of preachers today have their helpmeet assist them in their writing and their work as well. He began the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. We read that right at the outset of the book. And then he continued prophesying, proclaiming the inspired word of God, even well after the third invasion of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia in 586 B.C. So he preached for about 50 years to people who really, for the most part, would not listen. Judah had rejected the Lord for idols. And we know when we compare the Old Testament to the New Testament that today, when we make the spiritual application, anything that would attract our attention and get in between us and God is considered an idol. And therefore, we are to put to death all things and put God first in our life and serve the Lord and forsake all we have. We're going to be the Lord's disciple. We can't be like those who are guilty of sin in the days of Jeremiah. We learn that the people at that dark time in biblical history were guilty of gross personal unrighteousness. Unfortunately, we can see sometimes the same sort of thing even today among those who profess to be children of God. They will post their shame sometimes on public venues such as Facebook and things of that nature, things that they ought to be ashamed of, but they glory in their shame. These Jews hypocritically claimed to be God's people. They professed one thing, but they did another. And again, we could go and read these references, and it would be not a waste of time to study what transpired in the days of Jeremiah. But that's really not the point of the lesson. They refused to hear God's word back then. They refused to be corrected. You see, the thing was, they did not want to seek the old paths where the good way was. They didn't want to walk therein to find rest for their souls. They answered to the pleas from God, "We will not walk therein." They followed false prophets who spoke what the people wanted to hear. And unfortunately, we can see the same thing today. There are many preachers today that tell people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. There's even been gospel preachers that have chided gospel preachers in the last 50 years for preaching against some immoral activities, lasciviousness. And what we're talking about in that context is worldly dancing, where the actions are designed to stir up lust and not for godly manifestation. And they've actually chided it, as I said, gospel preachers for 50 years for preaching against such things. And so, just as there were false prophets among the people, Peter tells us there shall be false teachers among you. They will follow the same pattern. And that's why this is so enlightening to us. Jeremiah called Judah to repent, but again and again and again, we can see how they refused. He foretold of their destruction, how devastating it was going to be, but that didn't move them. And so what he explained to them was that the nation of Israel was going to be so destroyed that they would never, ever be made whole again after the captivity. And yet the people did not listen. So with that background in mind, let's look at the attitude that existed in this context. Jeremiah said, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, it's full of excess, they're dull of hearing, they cannot hear, they stop their ears because they have too much in the way. Their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, they have no delight in it." Now the person who loves the Lord, he meditates in the law of God, it's his meditation day and night, that's their delight. But here were the people who professed to be the word of the Lord, but the old paths, the old way of doing things, was a reproach to them. They took no delight in it. So the question is, can that happen today? And of course it can happen today. We know it can happen today. We see it happening all around us today. Paul told us in no uncertain terms that the time will come when they will not endure or tolerate sound doctrine or sound teaching. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, which is falsehood, fiction, and fairy tales. This here is a promise. This here is a guarantee. There are no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. The time will come when that will happen, just like the time came in the days of Jeremiah. So what was the consequence of the people's disobedience in this day and time? Remember, they still worship. Remember, they still profess to serve God, but they had manipulated the Word of God to please themselves rather than the Lord whom they professed to serve. So, through inspiration, Jeremiah says, "Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in." He talked about the word being in him like a fire that just had to burst out into a flame. He said, "I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken." He's referring to this captivity that's going to take place, and they're going to be taken off to Babylonia. He said, "The age with them that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord." So we can see what happened, the consequences for their rebellion against God. And then it says, "From the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." Now with their mouth they profess that they love the Lord, but their heart went after their own will, their covetousness. "And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." They didn't teach the people the old paths, where is the good way, so that they could walk therein. They didn't teach that because that's not what the people wanted. They said, "We will not walk therein." Can that happen today? Of course it can happen today. Paul again told us that the Spirit is speaking expressly, and that is loud and clear. The Spirit's telling us something expressly, making it manifest from the rooftop. "That in the latter time some shall depart from the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us." They're going to deviate into all these fractions and splinters and follow other various faiths, you see. Because they're going to give heed to seducing spirits or revelations, teachings, and doctrines or teachings of devils. That which would be contrary to the Word of God. "Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." What that means is they are past feeling. It doesn't bother them to deviate from the Word of God because they profess that they love God. They say that they serve the Lord. They say they're giving all their heart to God, but they're not seeking the old paths where the good way is, where they find rest for their souls. They're not willing to walk therein. They said, we will not walk in it. And so they speak lies and hypocrisy. They say one thing, but they do another. They're really not serving the Lord. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? They perverted the worship. They're living contrary to the will of God, and it doesn't bother them. Well, that's exactly what happened in the days of Jeremiah. The people began to believe the false message that came from the false prophets, the false teachers. Notice now verse 14 of our text. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people. God didn't heal their hurt. The people healed the hurt. Now how did they, the people, heal the hurt? They healed the hurt by saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And you see, the people were being healed by that because they really had lost the object of their affection, which was God. And now they're being approved of by their object of affection, which was the people. You see, when you take your eyes off of the Lord and the old paths where the good way is, then you seek the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's what they were receiving. And that's how they were healing one another. They were encouraging one another to continue on in their defiance to the Word of God. Because they were telling one another, brother, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing, brother. God bless you. But they weren't doing the right thing. But in their own minds, they were doing the right thing because they were being commended by the object of their affection. The message, the false message, you see, seared their conscience as with a hot iron. They were past feeling. Notice verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, we say all that because when we look at this context, we see what leads to apostasy. Taking our eyes off of the Lord and a failing to continue to seek the old paths. Here's the only hope to their darkness. Here's the only solution to their error. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah said, stand ye in the ways. Look at all the different ways that are taking place around about. And see, take a good look at them. And ask for the old paths, that is, seek for those old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. God has always required His people to be united upon His Word. The Word that was revealed at the beginning, whether it was the law of Moses or the law of Christ. They were all to go back to the Word of God, to get back to calling Bible things by Bible names and doing Bible things in Bible ways and speaking only as the oracles of God, having no book but the Bible, no creed but Christ, desiring to go no way but His way so that everybody could be united. That's what the message was. But they said at the end of verse 15, we will not walk therein. In other words, when you make the application today is, they were not willing to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. What that means is we don't walk by what looks good to us, what we think is the right thing to do. We walk by faith, and this, of course, is the faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To walk by faith is to walk by the Word of God, you see, trusting that God knows what's best. We're going to do what God said on this matter, and we're not going to do those things that He forbade us to do, even though maybe many around about may begin to do those things that God told us not to do. We're not going to go with them to the same excessive riot. We're going to seek the old paths where the good way is and walk therein so we can find rest for our souls. In Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of fame of the faithful, in each account of those heroes of faith, it says, by faith they did this. By faith they did that. And in each account, they won the victory because they walked by faith and not by sight. And the first account in verse 4 is Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered it by faith, and because he was righteous, it testified of his righteousness. He followed the word of God. Cain did what he thought he wanted to do, what he thought was best. And that's why his worship and service was not accepted. They worshiped the same God, just different ways. One was accepted, one was not. So the point is, God has always spoken. He's always spoken through his prophets. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says that God, who at sundry times in diverse manners, that just means at various times in different ways, he spake in times past unto the fathers, that is our forefathers, through the prophets. And we find that those men of old, they did not speak according to the will of God, Peter said, but they spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We find that God speaks to us today in the same way, by inspiration. And that's why after Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, God spoke in times past by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And that was foretold by Moses among your own selves. Moses told, you're going to rise up one of your brethren in the midst of you, and he's going to be like me. And unto him ye shall hearken. And God testified that Jesus was that one when he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when Jesus then gave the Great Commission, he told us to observe all that he's commanded because he now has all authority. We're not to listen to anybody else, for no one else has any authority. And so Jesus speaks through his ambassadors today. The Holy Spirit guided men who revealed all truth. He promised them that they would be guided into all truth. And that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance what He said unto them. And that the Holy Spirit was going to also show them things to come. We find that that word was going to live and abide forever. Jesus said heaven and earth would pass, but His words would not pass. Peter said it's an incorruptible word, and this is the word by the gospel which is preached unto you. The gospel was revealed and gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through God's divine power, Peter said. By that inspiration, we have it all. And we're told in Jude verse 3 that it is once and for all delivered. But verse 4 says, beware, because certain men have crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ unto lasciviousness, unrestrained lust. There are going to be those who will want to deviate from the gospel, just like there are people who deviated in times past. And that's what the whole book of Jude is about. All those historical accounts where people departed from the Word of God because they wanted their will to be done. Now, many, I'm sure, are familiar with Reuben Shelley. He's an apostate preacher in the Church of Christ. And he's written many books and things of that nature. And he's deviated in many, many ways. I want you to notice these are quotes of his own words that he gave in a lecture of A Challenge of Change. And it comes from the book Behold the Pattern by Global Music. And I did skip a few things to get to the bottom line. But this is what he said within pages 284 to 322. He starts out and he says that the Spirit of God is still moving and acting in the church today, and we must be more open to it. Now, the implication is, he's only concerned in what the Holy Spirit's revealing for us to follow. We need to be open to it. We know the truth, that it's been once and for all delivered, and that the inspired word that's been one time for all time delivered to all men is what's going to judge us in the last day. So there's not going to be any modifications. They don't move the goalposts in the middle of the game when it comes to serving the Lord. That's not God's way. But he says the Holy Spirit is still moving and acting in the church today. We must be more open to it. The result will be exhilarating changes in the worship and mission of the church. It's not just about seeking to save those that are lost, you see. And then he says, it has been a mistake to emphasize the old paths because we need to be open to change. And then he continues on. But you see, he makes it appear as though he's really just interested in following the teaching of the Spirit. That's what we need to be open to. And of course we need to be open to the teaching of the Spirit, but he's saying there's change. What he's advocating here is something that's totally subjective. Subjective means it can't be proven. It can't be verified. You have to trust in your feelings, your think-sos, your likes or dislikes. Whereas something that is objective, now that can be verified. That can be proven. You can put your finger on it and say, this is what the Lord says. But this is purely subjective. Cannot be proven. So, it was a mistake to emphasize the old paths, he said. The church has got to change. If it doesn't change, my kids are not going to stay with it. I'm probably not going to stay with it. And so what you can see the direction now he's going. And then finally, here's the bottom line. Mine was the last generation that would tolerate indoctrination. That's the bottom line. He cannot tolerate sound doctrine. Remember, Paul said the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure. And you can see the time has come. There's many that cannot endure sound doctrine. Now, I know when churches are seeking the old paths, where the good way is, and they desire to walk therein, that they can look in their directory and they can see in the last 10, 15 years that people have walked away. We can do that. Any church that is seeking the old paths can do that. But there's two sides to every story. What every church can do that seeks the old paths, they can also look in the last 10 or 15 years and look at all the newcomers they've had. I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about all the newcomers that they had. And then if they are seeking the old paths, where the good way is, and seeking to walk therein, that they might find rest for their souls, they will find in the last 10 to 15 years, the newcomers they had, where people who came and they looked at the congregations around about, and for one reason among those that are seeking the old paths, they chose that particular group. And those people, when the roof needs repairing, when the baptistry needs to be fixed, the floors need to be fixed, they are the ones that sacrifice their time, put forth the effort, untold hours, to do the work of the Lord. For free. Why? They're seeking the old paths where the good way is, and they want to walk therein and find rest for their souls. During the last 10 or 15 years, they will find people who have come that are worthy, willing rather, to travel far and wide to find a church that's seeking the old paths. And so driving distance is not a problem. But sometimes they can even worship nearby. Why? Because they found a church that's seeking the old paths where the good way is. And they get involved. And maybe they never preached much or never taught a Bible class in the adult assembly before. But they do that. They put forth the time and the effort for quarters to do that. Why? Because they're seeking the old paths where the good way is. And so that they can find rest for their souls. Maybe they find newcomers that don't have some talents in repair work or building. But if there is a financial problem and the church needs money, you can count on them to fill the gap. There are people who come to fill the gap. There are encouraging people that are here every single time the doors are open when you're a church that's seeking the old paths where the good way is. And so the point is, we're going to have people who have the attitude that will say, I want things to be done my way or else. And what we have to do is let them go. What I'm afraid of sometimes, if we get so concerned about those who may have left in the last 10 or 15 years, we forgot about those that we have gained in the last 10 or 15 years, that maybe, just maybe, we may not have gained them if we weren't seeking the old paths where the good way is to find rest for our souls. But they saw something in us that said, among all those churches in that area, I want to be numbered with them. And what I'm afraid of is sometimes we may even make what I think a lot of people do when they hear words like this. they make the mistake of going after the crowd that left Jesus in John chapter 6. When Jesus saw that the multitudes were following him for the loaves and for the fishes, he gave them a strong message. And he told them that their priorities had to be on things above, spiritual things, and not on the loaves and on the fishes. And the Bible says, when they heard that, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And then as we read on, it says, "Many of his disciples, therefore, when they heard this, they walked no more with them." And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You see, that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that's important. Seeking the old paths, where the good way is, that we might find rest for our souls. That's the only thing that matters. And so we've got to make sure that we continue to seek the old paths where the good way is. God said, "Stand in the ways and see. Take a good look at it and ascertain the real situation." He's telling us to stop and to pause and to reflect. And this is exactly what the New Testament is telling us over and over again. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it said, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave yourself for it." Examine yourselves, lest ye be in the faith, lest ye be found reprobates or disobedient to the Word of God. And so religious people can be disobedient. We've got to make sure we're in the faith. Amos 4, verse 12 says, "Thus saith the Lord, prepare to meet thy God." Haggai says, "Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." This is what we find in the New Testament. We are to perceive all the diverse ways. Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, he told them to enter in at the straight gate because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. He's talking about unrestrained religion, do your own thing sort of thing. Broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The old paths, where the good way is, that they might find rest for their souls. Walk therein. We're told to walk the straight and the narrow way of the Lord, in contrast to the optional ways, the diverse ways. We're to stand in the ways and see. Understand where we are. We are told in Ephesians 5:14, Paul says, "Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." See that you walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Circum means around, circle. Spectly means to see. You got your specs. And so walk circumspectly. Walk looking around all about what's taking place. Walk circumspectly, he says. And he says, "Redeem the time, for the days of are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding," verse 17, "what the will of the Lord is." And so we're to stand in the ways and we're to see. We're to see what's going on out there. And we're to ask for the old paths and continue to ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? We're to ask for the truth. For Jesus said to those of his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word," it's conditional. "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only one that can make us free, but we must make sure we're following the old paths, where the good way is, walking therein to find rest for our souls. We are told in 1 John 2, verse 24, that our salvation is conditional. We must remain in that which was given at the beginning. And then John said, "If you remain in that which was given to you in the beginning, you shall continue with the Father and with the Son." There's only one good way, and that's in the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the one and only power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that puts their faith in the gospel of Christ, the Word of God. That makes us perfect for every good work. It's through the blood of the everlasting covenant that makes us perfect in every good work, the Hebrew writer said. To do God's will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And that's why we're told to walk therein in the New Testament. So we can find rest for our souls. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either following the Word of God or you're not. And it's like what Joshua said to the people of God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You can choose the religions of all those around about. Or you can even go back to the beginning of time. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to seek the old paths where the good way is and walk therein and find rest for our souls. We can always continue to improve and do better. But that's the objective, to seek the old paths. You see, Jesus taught this message in Matthew 11:28-30. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's the place for rest for our souls. In 1 Corinthians 11, we can read about another Jesus. People preach Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. The message is not quite the same. And so Paul said to the Corinthians who were deviating from the Word of God in the first century, he said, I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then in verse 4, he talked about those who would come and preach another Jesus, or another spirit, or another gospel. And in verses 13 to 15, he said they were false apostles and deceitful ministers. And don't marvel at that, because even Satan himself appears to be an angel of light. Therefore, it's no wonder if his ministers also appear to be the servants of righteousness. There's the gospel, and then there's another gospel. And the churches of Galatia, they professed to serve Christ, but they were practicing another gospel. And that's why Paul said, I marvel you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so they were encouraged to go back and to seek the old paths where the good way is and walk therein. Now, what's so sad about the day of Jeremiah was that the majority of the people said, we will not walk therein. But what's so bright about that Old Testament account, as sad as it is, it shows the glaring contrast between those who seek the old paths. The Hebrew writer encouraged Christians in the first century that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, referring to the Old Testament, if that was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape today if we neglect so great salvation? We will not escape. And that's why we're told to take heed to him who speaks from above, from heaven. We're told that we are to take heed unto him, because if they escape not, who despised him who spake on earth, that's Moses, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect him who speaks from heaven? And so God's going to come in flaming fire on those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have eyes to see, as we mentioned in Ephesians 5, we're to walk circumspectly and redeem the time because the days are evil. We have ears to hear, and Jesus said, he that hears the voice of the Son of God shall live. He said, my sheep will hear my voice and follow me. We have hearts to understand. We can know when we read. We can know what Paul knew. He said, you can know my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We can be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we can prove all things and hold fast to what is good. And I think 1 Thessalonians 5:21 teaches the exact same thing that Jeremiah 6:16 says. Paul says, prove all things. Stand in the ways and see. Check them out. Prove all things. Hold fast to what is good. Ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein. Prove all things. hold fast to what is good. We can be like the Bereans who are commended in Scripture, who search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. In closing, we can hear the Lord. In fact, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do that. We can consider where we are on the road of salvation. When we look at people who were saved in the first century, the majority of those people were from religious backgrounds. They were devout people, dedicated in every way. But when they found out they were not in harmony with the Word of God, they were willing to do God's will. They asked for the old paths, where the good way is, to walk therein, so that they could find rest for their souls. We can walk therein today. We can find rest for our souls. The question is, will we? Will we give ourselves to God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength? The choice is ours. Like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you need to come to the Lord on His terms in any way, won't you please respond to the gospel as together we stand and as we sing.